And we're going to go this morning back over. We're teaching about tongues and really the key to the supernatural. And what I want you to get a hold of this. Pastor Kenneth Wayne Hagen, who is a pastor of Rhema Bible Church, he used to say this all the time. Even when I was in Bible school, he would always say this all the time, a statement he had. And it's really true. And it's a good statement. And if you understand it, it'll help you in your spiritual walk. He said, Christians are looking for the miraculous and miss the supernatural. A lot of times people don't know what supernatural is. They don't realize they're holding, they have the supernatural. And they don't realize it. They're always wanting to see something miraculous. And really they're supernatural they can go on to. It's number one, we need to understand is, I'm a supernatural person. That's what I am. I'm supernatural. I was born again supernatural. The supernatural event caused me out. It made me a supernatural being. I'm not a natural being. See, the church views themselves and most Christians just like everybody else. That's why you'll live a mediocre spiritual life, because of the way you believe. Whether you believe about what you are. And see, you need to understand. Think about this. Isn't it supernatural that the Holy Spirit lives in me? You know, everybody's praying and trying to reach heaven. What on earth are you doing that for? Heaven done moved in.
Amen.
I'm not trying to reach heaven. Heaven reached me.
Amen.
That's right.
God is inside of me. You know, when I was at Rhema Bible Training Center in 1989, it was right before I graduated, I had an experience with the Holy Spirit. It was one day as the Lord spoke to me. At that time, I was able to go to the, they have what they call prayer school. It wasn't one of our regular classes we had, but if you could, they had every afternoon, he had a prayer time. The students who could come together and spend time in prayer. They'd have different things. We'd go and pray for, that time was the Soviet Union. We'd pray over that. That was one of the things, but a number of different things we would pray for. And I was going to go one day, and the Spirit of the Lord said to me, and see, that's why you've got to listen to God. Because the Spirit of the Lord said to me, I want you to go out to the reservoir. And I knew he was talking about, there's a reservoir. And it was around that reservoir was 2.8 miles around it. And I used to go out there and I used to run. And it was a place also I'd go to out and I'd walk around there and pray. I'd go to that place out there and I'd just walk around. And there's usually like some people fish at the reservoir and that stuff. But it was a pretty quiet place. You could, you know, go around it. And the Lord said, I want you to go out to the reservoir today. I want to talk to you. Now you think, well, God could talk to me there in the prayer meeting there. And see, you get over in your own mind, but I've learned to listen. I thought, well, you know, here I am. I get a chance. I go pray with the group. God says, no, I want you to go. I want to do something. So I did. So I went out with him. So I went out there. And so, well, I didn't know what he wanted, but I knew this. If you want to get over in the spirit, if you want to get hooked up into the spirit, which you are a spiritual being, you're going to have to do this. You have to do something spiritual. You don't just do something natural. Now, I could sit there and pray out of my mind what I'd think, but I said, Lord, I don't know what's going on. I'm just going to pray in the Spirit. And I started walking and praying in the Spirit. And I don't know how long it was, but I walked, and I know I must have made at least a lap or two around this place. But I, you know, they have a term, they're getting lost in the Spirit. I don't know. All I know is I lost consciousness naturally. All of a sudden, I came to myself. I didn't even realize where, and I'm walking, and I am praying in tongues at the top of my lungs. And it startled me. I just stopped. And then my mind, you know, your mind kicks in, you know, my brain, I thought, because there's always people fishing around there, you know. And I'm thinking, oh my God. They're thinking, who is this nut? And I turned around, and from where I was, I could see back through the whole reservoir. Not one person was there. I said, this is really weird. This is a spring day and nobody fishing out here. There's always people fishing out here. Nobody's fishing. And the Holy Ghost started talking to me supernatural. And I had this dialogue for, I don't know, at least 20 minutes. I don't know, it might have been longer. Where the Holy Spirit, wasn't Jesus, it was the Holy Spirit speaking to me and saying things. And I asked him questions back. But we walked around there. I walked for this period of time, and we just told a conversation. It was just like as if I was naturally talking to a person. That's how it was, and he told me certain things. But there's one thing that I learned through this time of this intercourse with him. is the Holy Spirit is 100% dedicated to Jesus Christ. He has no initiative of his own in the earth. He's not trying to do anything of his own initiative. It's whatever Jesus wants done. Through that conversation, I understood this is why Jesus said, I'll forgive you of anything, but he said the Holy Spirit won't. And I learned this is what it is. You as a Christian better treat Jesus right. Because if you want the Holy Spirit to turn off to you, treat Jesus wrong. He's 100% Jesus. So I learned this. See, you can call me anything you want, but you be careful how you treat my Jesus. Because what you say about me, it may be true, but he ain't ever done nothing ugly. He ain't ever been wrong. You be careful what you say about Jesus. I might tell you about it. See, it irks me when people talk about, well, God made me sick for a reason. So that irks me. So you might say Ed made you sick for a reason. That could be true. But it ain't been Jesus. Don't you talk stuff like that. See, people say things and we say things frivolously and lightly about it. And the Holy, and that's one thing, see, as I learned there in this experience, and I ain't going to go on and tell about the experience, what all went on. But, you know, it really changed me concerning about the Holy Spirit in me and cooperating with the Holy Spirit. And we're talking in the areas of tongues, but I want you to get this. I'm going to read a script. In fact, turn to Romans 8. I've read this before to you folks. It's time again. Romans the 8th chapter. People talk a lot of things here, but there's a revelation here that the church definitely generally doesn't have, and even spirit-filled people don't have. And you need to get this revelation. It is why? Because we have teachings that sometimes that aren't really clear. And that people do well. They write whole books. And I think, boy, you missed one good scripture should have been the key to what you're talking about. You talk about being spiritual, you need to, and people don't use a verse because it doesn't fit the general teaching. Because that one verse will shoot a lot of things that people say aside. Is spirituality. In Romans the 8th chapter, and I want to go start reading, I'm going to read verses 8 and 9. Verse 8 says, so then, those who are in the flesh can't please God. See, in the flesh, this is talking about people, fleshly people, people who aren't Christian, they can't please God. A person who's not a Christian, who's in the flesh. See, people use these sometimes and say them, but if you read this down through here, he's differentiating between the saved and the unsaved man. You're different. See, you're the one that has the Spirit of God in you, the same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead, makes alive your mortal body. They don't. Now, verse 9 says this. Look what it says. But you were not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. Now, if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he is not his. What does it say about you being in the Spirit? He said, you're not, if you're born again, you're not in the flesh, you're in the Spirit. I'll never forget, as a young Christian, I got that revelation. I remember reading this and seeing that, and it just like jumped off the page and slapped me. And I thought, all they ever tell us is we're trying to get in the Spirit. Christians keep trying to get in the Spirit. No, we want to connect to the Spirit. We're not trying to get in there. The Bible says I'm in the Spirit. Amen. Now, what I need to do is this, is get a revelation that I'm in the Spirit. Now, you want to connect to the Spirit. Now, you have to do spiritual things. Many times people are doing natural things trying to connect to the end of the Spirit. They're trying to get hooked up with the Spirit. They're in the Spirit, the Holy Spirit. You want to get connected. You know, sometimes it's almost like your mind can be like unplugged from your Spirit. And if it gets too unplugged and you're paying attention to it, it can lead you away from the consciousness that you're spiritual. See, many times, God's view, God dealt with me over the years about some things, and this is one of the things. God dealt with me a long time ago, many years ago, about dealing with Christianity. That most Christians, they don't know who they are, what they are, they don't know their connection to God. They'll tell you scriptures about it and say that, but it's not a reality to them. It's living in the reality of who you are and what you are. It's being in that place conscious. Do you know, I found out the more I became conscious of and the revelation of who I was, I thought totally different about hooking up to God and hearing from God. It became much easier for me to hook up, to pick up what God was doing and saying, because of understanding what I was and believing in what I was, believing in my connection to God, not trying to get one. See, you're connected. How could the Holy Spirit be in you and you're not connected to God? That's an impossibility. You are. See, you're in the Spirit. You are. Now, you want to be conscious of that. So, you know, lots of times, you know, we spend time doing certain things. Why? It's like we get together here and sing and stuff together. Things that we do makes us more conscious. It doesn't make me, from the standpoint, I have a better relationship with God. No, it makes me to the point where I am conscious of the fact that I am, that I'm hooked up to it. I'm leaving out of my mentality. See, your mentality and the way you think, even we didn't understand, we're more spiritual, really. We knew our mind, but I'm going to tell you, we have a greater connection in the Spirit with God than our mind knows. I don't care how smart you think you are. Amen. Or what you think in renewed mind. And God, you know, the Lord said, if you seek Him, you find Him. If you knock, you know, He'll, all those things. See, it's one, a lot of people trying to get God to chase them. He won't. God doesn't chase people. We go to Him and hear. And see, this is one thing. If you know that you are spiritual, it is natural for you to go to the spiritual being. The reason we go to people all the time is because that's we think naturally. You know, if somebody wants to know an answer, they go look for somebody to try to give them an answer. That's me as a Christian. I learned a long time ago. First place I go is God. I have a question. Our natural things I'll ask Him about. What? Think you don't know? But see, we have the tendency to go to the natural. That's the first place we go. You know, it's like with people. We talk about health and healing and all those kind of things. But most people, the first thing they'll do is jump to a doctor. They won't jump to God first. Then they'll go find out that. Then they find out the doctor can't give them a pill to change this thing. We need to get to God. It's a conscious thing of this. They're not conscious of God in them. They're not conscious that they are spiritual. Why? Because we see. See, I thank God because, see, the way I was taught as a young Christian, and listening to Kenneth Hagin teaching, you know, I was taught God come first. He's first on the agenda. He's first on the agenda. I'm not going to embarrass Him by bypassing Him. If I say He's my Lord, then you go to Lord first. Amen. You know, ask God. Ask God. Stop. I can say this truthfully. Never one time in my entire Christian life have I ever been in a really lousy situation that God has not spoke to me. Never one time. Never one time. So I have people, well, we're seeking God. We have this problem. We've been seeking God. You're not being spiritual. You're not in conscious. You're trying to like God is someplace else. No, He's in you. The answer is already there. It's in you. Amen. It's sort of like having a computer. You got a computer program that does certain things for you. You know what? If you know how to get to that program and look, then you can get the answer that you need out of it. You know? Well, God's in you. And the answer is there. See, when it's the way we think. We're spiritual. And we're connected to the spiritual giant. In you lives the know-it-all. The Holy Spirit. He knows everything that belongs to Jesus. Scripture says that He takes what belongs. Jesus, is He God? Then He knows everything. We're connected right to it. We're spiritual. We have this connection. This connection is made by faith, by believing a certain way, and then thinking that way. Then, if you want to act out spiritually hooked up, then you act in line with what you say you believe. No. You know? Then you will maybe see a whole lot more manifestations.
Amen.
But we're bypassing the supernatural that we already have to try to get a miracle really through mental processes, through the natural. No, it's through hooking up. Understand who you are and what you are. It's like, because see, we're talking about tongues here. People, really, the church world doesn't understand. I think we understood it more years ago about the connection, the hookup of why this tongues thing and this supernatural hookup that we have here. And if we use it, it is a connection to our spirituality of who and what we are. It's a connection. God wants to talk through us. Isn't that amazing? God wants to say words through us. Say, well, I don't understand what they are. I thought he was Lord. If he wants to use my voice, he should be allowed to, whether I think of it or not.
Amen.
When I sit down and I start questioning his intelligence, you and the Holy Spirit ain't going to get along. If Jesus wants to talk through my voice and I don't understand, that is his prerogative. And for me to complain about it and say dumb things about it is ignorance and stupidity. See, we look at somebody doing something we call having a big sin, and we don't realize as Christians lots of times we sin against God all the time because we act against his word. Well, I just don't understand it. Well, there's a lot I don't understand, but the Bible says do it. I've learned this. It's obedient to the master. You know, Lord God taught me through obeying people. See, one thing as I got saved, the first thing that he taught me was how to obey my leaders at work. Whether I liked it or not, they were in charge. Because see, if you don't like going on, you don't like what the Bible says, you'll rebel against that too. I'm going to tell you what. You cannot be totally dedicated to Jesus and not listen to your leaders. Can't do it. It's impossible. So I know that don't make you jump and shout, but it's the truth. And I found out it's to know the truth will make you free. Hallelujah. And I surely needed to get free. I surely needed to understand that. Because, see, I've learned to submit. I want to submit to Jesus. I want to do that. And so do you. And these things will help you a lot. Is one of the things, I'm going to go back to a familiar scripture we've been talking about from 1 Corinthians, the 14th chapter. We're going to go back to that. The last time we talked about this thing, about words, even from our sin. In other words, what comes to pass is our words. The power of our words, what we say. We need to understand this thing about words. What you want in life and you want God to bring to pass, God will bring to pass your words. In the earth, you know, we've had teaching and stuff in the past. Mike talks a lot on this area about the words being seeds. We need to understand that. There are seeds in the ground. There are seeds. I was just listening to Kenneth Hagin, some teaching of his, and his was on the areas of healing, but he talked about this reaping what you sow. And he used from Philippians where it says, you know, God is not mocked. Whatever a man sows, that shall he reap. And he said, you know, you might sow the wrong thing. He said, God will forgive you. But he said, the seed's still in the ground. You're gonna still reap what you sowed. Amen. See, people have this idea that if I do wrong, then God will forgive me and it'll all go away. No, it don't. The seed's in the ground. The seed's in the ground. People don't realize this. The seed's in the ground. See, I watch people do this. You know, a husband or wife will cheat on the other one, and the other one wants to get rid of them because they did it. And they'll say, well, they ought to forgive me. Well, they might, but that don't mean they, you know. The Bible says this, you know, the guy who's faithful in little, he'll make him ruler over much. If you ain't faithful with something, God won't make you a ruler. It seems like God will forgive you, but he ain't going to make you a ruler. God don't fix everything for people.
Amen.
This is why you need, you know, when I was a young Christian, God fixed a lot of messes for me because I was goo-goo, da-da, you know, little stupid baby. He don't know more.
Amen.
No, I do wrong and he does. That's going to cost you. Mm-hmm. Yeah, man, that's just what I wanted to hear. I wanted to seek God and hear that. See, we don't like those things. You know, God will forgive you of anything. But while you're here in this earth, there's a cost. Because why? You're in charge here. He's not going to usurp your authority. You sow junk, it grows. Oh, my God. Now we don't, these things ain't always the fun stuff to hear, but it is. It's here. See, this is one, there wouldn't be any reason to do anything right if you could just repent and everything turned out good. Why would you just keep doing what you're doing and then just repent? Just, Lord, forgive me, I did wrong. Yeah. And you just do that all the time. Now, God's very merciful. He may go a long time. You know, this is one. You know why we keep doing wrong? Because God is so darn slow to judge. He will go years and years and years, and people will think they're getting away with it. And all of a sudden, they ain't getting away with it. Do you know what? That's been what's wrong with America. They don't believe the Bible, and the Christians in America don't believe the Bible. I'm going to tell you, there's judgment coming on America. God has been so patient and kind. And you know what? Americans think they're getting away with it. They're not. They're not. They're not getting away with things. No. We've sowed things, and I'm going to tell you what, it's going to come up. Thank God for His... I tell you what, one thing is I've learned about God, He is so merciful. Oh, my. See, I'd have thrown, if I was God, I'd have thrown America under the bus years ago. And you would have too, so, yeah. You know. But He's merciful and kind. And we want to look at, but we want to look at this about our words we're saying. So, in this verse it says, chapter 14, verse 2 says, "For he who speaks in a tongue does not speak to men, but to God." In other words, we speak or we're saying words. The words that we're saying, we are speaking those words to God. It says, "For no one understands him. However, in the spirit, he is speaking mysteries." Now, so what he's speaking or he's saying mysteries or what, they are mysteries, what? To the man or the men who are speaking those words. They're a mystery to you. When you're speaking in tongues, the words are a mystery to you. Now, if you look up what that word means, it's also it's secrets. So something, you're saying things. Now, you know, it's one thing is about secrets. If somebody tells you, if you have a secret, and once you tell somebody else, it's no longer a secret. Don't ever tell people, "See, I'm going to tell you a secret," and say, "Now it ain't going to be a secret no more. I'm going to tell you." Well, it ends a secret. It does. It's not a secret. Because I'll guarantee you, that person will generally tell somebody else. They're going to say something. Somewhere along the line, they're going to say something. You know? Unless they're a person of integrity. You know, there's things that I'll say to Wanda, "I'm going to tell you something. I know something. Sometimes God tells me certain things." I'll say, "I'm going to tell you, don't you ever speak it to anybody else. I'm going to tell you for your knowledge." And she's a good wife. She don't say nothing to nobody about it. She don't ever say nothing to nobody. Because if she did, I'd never tell her anything again. It's just that simple. I wouldn't. No. But she's good. So it's a secret between her and I, those words. And it should be that way. That's why, you know, I'm very careful about who you would tell. See, you listen to people, and if they go around blabbing about other people, just other something, well, then you don't tell them. They'll be telling somebody. Well, we're speaking, but here we're done. So we're going to speak to God, and these words we're speaking to God, we don't understand what they are. And it says they're mysteries or they're secrets. There's things that are not known. Now, God has a purpose in this, and you need to understand this. It needs to come across to you as we look at this. God gives us knowledge from the Word, things that we can know outwardly, know with our mind and understand. There's some things He tells, like with this, tongues. There's secrets that we speak, and we don't know what they are. There's purpose in this. People say, "Well, why does God do that?" Because He's smarter than you, and if He told you what it was, it wouldn't be a secret. You'd blob it out and ruin the whole thing. You know, there's some things you don't need to know. There's some things about people you don't need to know. Mm-hmm. You know, there's times and that stuff. I've even told the Lord. Sometimes, you know, and I really, it's the office I stand in. Sometimes God shows me things of why people do stuff or something going on. And sometimes Lord, I wish I wouldn't have known that. I wish I wouldn't have known that. You know? You know what? You don't want to get a bad opinion of people. I don't want to, you know. And you know, I just say, Lord, you know, because, you know, some people, let's put it this way. You know, some people do things sometimes that are a bit squirrely, and it's not because they're any kind of a bad person. And there's some people walk around, they act like they're really good and they're bad. But man, when God shows you what's really going on, they got a lot of ugly going on that people don't see. That's why you can't judge by the outside. I've run into people you thought were spiritual and everything else, and God has a whole different opinion. God has a whole different opinion about their spirituality. And, you know, there's a lot of people who put on a show. See, that's what that person is this, they're a hypocrite. Because you know what a hypocrite is. See, the hypocrite, actually that word comes from a thing, that was what they called actors. Under the Greeks, that was an actor. In other words, there's a lot of actors out here. In Christianity, there's a lot of people, they call it hypocrites, but really they're actors. They know how to put on an act. They can come to church and they know the lingo of the church. They know how to act around other Christians. I've been around this all my life. I mean, I knew, you know, people, and I went to Rhema, and even in Rhema, I mean, we had some students. They were great actors. They weren't at all. They would put on around at school, and you'd think that they were something. I'll tell you what, you didn't want to see them after school. There wasn't nothing godly about them. They're just as heathen as the day was long. See, the devil has people out here, and they get religious spirits. And they yield to these religious spirits, but that ain't what they really are. I don't have this stuff in my notes, but God's talking. See, we need to know what we're living. This is why you want to understand and be a spiritual person. Because there's things I found out that God would do for me from the standpoint to protect me. From people, sometimes. Sometimes you need protection. I've watched this. See, he taught me from when I was young because he tried to protect me and I didn't pay attention and got tied up with not good. Anyhow, God tried to show me. The whole thing was, I learned it. God is in the protection. If you're sincere, and I'm talking about sincere, the Greek word in the Bible that is translated sincere, it actually means this, without wax. Say, does that make sense to you? Well, it might not. But see, when they made pottery, if pottery was flawed or stuff, they would fill it in with wax and melt it in and paint it and stuff and make it look like it was really nice, but it was really fragile. It wasn't really good. And sincere means without wax, you're not flawed. And this is one. It isn't a person is sincere, not that they're perfect, they know everything. They're walking in the light they got. They're trying to walk right before God. That person is sincere as far as God's concerned. See, I stumbled around as a young Christian, you know, because when you're young, you're a baby. You do things you think are good, and it turns out it wasn't good. You think, you know, because you're walking there. But I found out this. God just liked me like crazy. He would do stuff for me. Why? Because I was sincere. I wasn't trying to do things. And as you get older, you got to learn, you know, you're still growing. See, I had to learn not to shoot myself in the foot because I made a mistake. Because, see, I do that. See, you know, you make a mistake and, you know, I was harder on me than God was. I'll tell you that. And see, you can really hurt yourself in growing up spiritually, but not understanding God in these areas. See, there's one thing to be disobedient, and there's another thing just to miss the mark. That's a totally different ball game. I will just tell you, you'll miss the mark. This is what we do. Because why? We're limited in knowledge, and we're limited in things, and we're not intentionally doing something wrong. We stumble up and say, you might even stop and say, you know, I knew better than that. Why did I do that? But see, you didn't intentionally go after that or do that. Mm-hmm. And see, you need to deal with yourself about that is not, see, I should just shoot myself in the foot, you know, then so I could limp around for a long time, and I found out I didn't have to do that. I just, And so we want to gain in knowledge. But what I want us to understand is, we want to hook up with God. Now, this might seem strange here, but I want you to look at Mark 16 this morning. It's something that Jesus did here because I want you to get a hold of this from a spiritual standpoint, is understanding where we're coming from. In Mark 16, we're going to have here with Jesus. I'm going to start at verse 15, in Mark 16 and verse 15. This is Jesus. He's getting ready to leave. And he said to them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Well, we're preaching the gospel. What do we do? We're saying words. In other words, it is important, the words we say to people. Is it really the gospel? Is it? See, people have, you know, they have about five words of gospel. You know, God loves you. But they don't really preach the gospel to people. Because of that, we know this isn't taking place. He said, he who believes, what? What does a person believe? The words you speak. Are you speaking words that they ought to be believing? Are you speaking words that they need to believe? See, you need to understand it. Lots of times we're not. Because, look, Jesus goes on, he says, he who believes, the words I speak, is baptized will be saved. But he who does not believe, what? The words we speak, this one will be condemned. See, they're already judged. A person who doesn't believe in Christ is already judged. They don't believe the gospel of Jesus, they don't believe it's true. They're already condemned. They're already. It doesn't mean God ain't sending anybody to hell. It's what people choose. See, they choose. Well, I don't want to believe the gospel. I'm going to go my way. Well, your way is going to end up. But where it's going to end up at for you. Well, then he says this. These signs will follow those who believe. Believe what? The words that we spoke to them, the gospel that believe. Are we taking the words to them? I want you to get this, because he says, in my name, they will cast out demons. There's some words. He said, in my, there's a word, Jesus, in my name. Now, I want you to understand this. See, this is where I got the understanding when I heard Brother Hagin years ago and say this. Christians have more faith in prayer than they do Jesus. We pray and have no faith in the name of Jesus. No prayer amounts to nothing without faith in the name of Jesus. I don't care if you tacked it on to the end of the prayer. The prayer don't change a thing. The name does. He said, in my name you cast devils out. He didn't say you pray them out. He said, demons leave because of the authority in my name. Do you believe a devil will leave just because you use the name of Jesus? Or do we have to have a prayer meet? Now listen, now it goes on. In other words, are we preaching them a gospel they believe they can do that? No. We're not preaching that gospel. Why? Well, that's controversial. Well, I found out Jesus is controversial. I'm going to tell you, if you follow him, you might get stoned now and then. And if you don't ever get stoned, it's because you never followed him.
Come on.
Let's get real, people.
Amen.
You fanatics. Bunch of crazy fanatics. That's what it is. I knew it. Okay. So they cast out demons. And he said they will speak with new tongues. In other words, in my name. See, we're more interested in laying hands on people and praying over them to get tongues than the authority of the name of Jesus. He said, in my name. Why wouldn't we say, get filled with the Holy Ghost in the name of Jesus? No, we don't believe the power of that name. The Bible is very simple and does a lot of things very simply. But religion has made them long and drawn out. We follow. This is one reason. I'll tell you, this is one reason why lots of times people don't get healed, things don't happen, because we don't listen on the inside. We follow our religious traditions. Oh, we got to do prayer, long prayers. We got to do all this kind of stuff. Sometimes that ain't what God wants to do at all. Now, the Bible says this, the prayer of faith will heal the sick. The Lord will raise them up. So some people say, we pray for the sick. Well, it's the prayer of faith. What's your faith in? The prayer? That's what 99% of Christians are. They have great faith in their prayer. I only have faith in the name of Jesus. Because if prayers got answered just because they were prayers, this whole world would be a changed place. That ain't how it works. Hallelujah. God responds to my prayers because of my faith in the name of Jesus. Jesus said, whatever you ask the Father in my name, He'll do it. He didn't say, whatever you pray to God, He'll do for you. Didn't say that. That's why a lot of prayers don't get answered. People think, God, just listen to my voice. No, He wants to know what you believe about it. He's only going to do it because of Jesus. Get over yourself. You ain't that good of a prayer anyhow. Hallelujah. God responds to me because of Jesus. Not because of my great spirituality or who I am. It's Amen. Because of Jesus. And when I recognize Him, the Father says, that's my boy. Ha ha. Yeah. That's my, we'll do that one. Yeah. That's the way He's looking at things. So He said, we speak in new tongues. He said, they'll pick up serpents and if they drink any deadly thing, it will by no means hurt them. Well, what does He say? The words in the name of Jesus. See, in the name of Jesus. If I drink any day, now it's not talking about going around here and tempting God. We ain't doing that. But you know, see, I don't worry about things if I drink any, like from the snakes. Paul had a thing with a snake and he shook it off in the fire and he didn't get hurt. And they thought, oh my God, he's a God. You know, they thought, you know, they got weird right away. See, the world don't know. But see, we Christians, you know, we don't have to walk around in fear. See, we need to live a life of faith in the name of Jesus. See, people pray over their food. And then, you know, I don't get food poisoning. I'm not allowed to have that. I'm a Christian. Amen. I'm redeemed from the curse of the law.
Amen.
That's right.
I have faith in the name of Jesus. See, it isn't my great prayer. It's in Jesus' name is why it's answered. When I pray over my food, I sanctify it. And it is sanctified not because Ed said it's sanctified. It is sanctified because of Ed's faith in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Now see, that's words. See, we're talking about words. The words we say and the words we believe that we say. I've watched this. I've sat under things teaching people how to pray, and they don't even emphasize the name of Jesus. They're more interested. Well, pray this scriptural prayer. Well, that's good. But it ain't coming to pass other than through faith in the name. The Father responds to the name. God hears me because of Jesus. God responds to me because of Jesus. That's why. And see, the Holy Spirit loves that. The Holy Spirit loves it. We respond to Jesus. We're responding that name. Hallelujah. Why? Now listen to this. All authority in heaven and earth has been given to Jesus. The Father does not have authority in the earth. He only answers prayer on the authority of Jesus Christ. I don't get answers from heaven from my daddy. I get answers because of Jesus. He's the one who has all authority in heaven. The angels are answering to Jesus. They don't answer to the daddy. No. They're answering to Jesus. Jesus don't have a different will than His Father. But the whole thing of it is, Jesus is the one in authority. Now this shakes up our religious traditions. Well, the Bible will if people ever read it. You read it, it'll shake up your traditions. I've got a lot of traditions. You know, I every once in a while get one of my traditions shaken up. I find something in the Word, I think, oh my God. that's not the way we preach it. we have another style. We have another thing. But I found this out. Things are much more simple. We have made things too complicated. We're trying to believe all these different things. You know, God will do what He said He would do just because of Jesus. And just because I believe on Him, God will do wonderful things. Just because of my confidence in Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Just I can ask the Father anything. He'll do it for me because of Jesus Christ. In His name, He'll do it. That almost sounds insane. You know, as I always say, God handed us a loaded gun. Instead of we used it, we didn't shoot the devil with it. We shot ourselves and each other. Because it is, it's phenomenal what He's laid into our hands. It's incredible. Hallelujah. Well, He goes on here to these things, and then He's one that said, He said, lay hands on the sick, and they'll recover. What? Why will they cover? The name of Jesus. See, that's why people, you know, we pray for people and I say, God will heal you. No, Jesus is going to heal you. It's because of Jesus is going to get done. That's why. See, Jesus is the forefront of everything in the gospel. There is no gospel of God. It's the gospel of Jesus Christ. But we preach a gospel of God. No, what makes it all work is Jesus. And the authority lies in His name. You know, if you look at history and past and that kind of stuff, you know, they had kings. See, we have a democracy, so it's hard for Christians here in nations like America to understand a lot of things about the Bible because we have no. You have to look at history of things, find it out. You know, when the king would send people out to go do something, and they would come and they would tell people, "Well, I'm here in the name of the king." In other words, I came under the king's authority. You mess with me, you're in trouble. Yeah, that's what it was. And everybody knew, I'm here in the name of the king. And everybody knew, somebody showed up, the king sent him. The king's here. The king is here. See, you messed with that person. You were messing with the king. He had authority to come and do something. When you did it against that person, you did it against the king. See, when people persecute a Christian, the scripture tells us, they didn't do it to him, they did it to Jesus. They're doing it to Jesus. Why? Your authority here, you go against. So you need to understand these things. Just this simple word, this one name that we say, this one name, what this one word can do, it's phenomenal. We don't use it enough. We don't respond with that word enough. Hallelujah. No one can get saved. That name. That's the only name that men can be saved. It didn't say, you know, Jesus will forgive you the sin. That's the word, you know, forgiveness of sin has come before the name of who the guy that did it. No, it's Jesus. It's all tied in Him. Now, we went through this because we're dealing with this area about speaking words because tongues is speaking words. We speak in tongues under the authority of the name of Jesus. We're saying words which we do not know what they say, but under the authority, the king said, do it. This is what we do. And he moved supernaturally to get this gift to the church. To get this here. See, salvation, that's the most important. Well, I wonder how people think. Once I become a Christian, is being disobedient to the rest of the scripture okay because I did the most important? You know, it's like a guy said, most important thing to do is get a job and go to work, but I go to work, don't do nothing. Well, was that the most important thing, to get that job and go to work? I don't think so. If you're not going to live this life out, you done missed the whole most important. You didn't, you know.
Amen. Free.
I got saved to do the most important thing, the will of God. that's it. You know, do the will of God. Well, God has something here, doing something. And this is what I want you to understand. Jude made this, and we talked about this and used this scripture. We'll use them again and again. Jude said in Jude, there's only one chapter in Jude, the 20th verse. Jude said, but you, beloved, building yourself up in your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. Now, he said here, praying in the Holy Spirit, King James, Holy Ghost. The reason you see that term in the Bible sometimes, it's Holy Ghost, Holy Spirit, if you look at the King James Version, is because there was two different groups that did the translations, and one group translated the parts that they translated, Holy Ghost, and one translated Holy Spirit. It's the same thing. It's the same Greek word. And so, but we want to understand this. Building yourself up on your most holy faith. So in other words, I like the word, it's probably we pass that over. We talk about building ourselves up. It says, but in my most holy faith. Gee, there's people who have faith, but it ain't the most holy. There's a lot of people believe things that really the scriptures don't really deal with. And people have faith. See, you can have faith in things. When we're talking about faith, I'm talking about faith in God. Not faith in something other than, you know, there's other things that we believe and it'd be good to believe in the natural realm. There's things, but people believe things and even things about, he said, but praying in tongues, why? Praying in tongues will build you up on your most holy faith. In other words, it's going to be in line with God, be in line with his word. This is what's going to be in line with. It'll build you up. Now we want to look at some others here. Because here Jude is talking about, he talks about and uses the term, building yourself and praying in the Holy Spirit. Well, people say, well, you know, that's just being spiritual. Now, praying in the Holy Spirit, there's a lot of people say getting in the Spirit. They think in the Spirit is some kind of goosebump thing or some kind of, some kind of feeling or something like that. Is in the Spirit, I've been around groups and they talk, well, you know, you're praying, well, I'm going to pray in the Spirit. I'm going to put more enthusiasm in my prayer. You can put all the enthusiasm you want in your prayer. Your prayer don't get answered by enthusiasm. Mm-hmm. Of your excitement.
That's right.
You know, this is the people. No, he's talking about praying in the Spirit. He's talking here about praying in tongues, and we're going to look at Scripture to deal with that. Because there's something supernatural. Praying in tongues does something supernaturally to you, but not just to you. It's for you. You can pray out the will of God. I love this about God. Because, number one, I can do things that he shows me to do that isn't even for me, but he'll bless me through it. You see, he's wonderful. You know, he'll have me do things to bless another person. This is why it says it's more blessed to give than receive. Why? I'm going to get the biggest blessing out of this thing.
That's right.
Amen.
That's right.
See, if you had any revelation of that, you wouldn't sit and squander about giving. Mm-hmm. Gee, can I do that? See, man, I can't not do it. God has blessed me so darn often, I'm hooked.
Amen.
Amen.
I'm just hooked on this thing. Yeah. You're blessed. So I do it. Why? Because it is more blessed to give than receive. Why? I do something for others. I'm going to get blessed. This is what tongues. God wants us to speak in other tongues, 10 times praying in other tongues. Why? There's a blessing in it for us.
Amen.
It's going to build you up in your most holy faith. We want to look at this. So, in other words, there's no word spoken in tongue. So, you don't expect to get a really charged faith in your life. You're going to be limited in your faith charge. You're going to be limited. We need to understand this. God gave us something to do that would give a bigger pay. You know what? Did you ever notice this? You go in jobs, the more responsible jobs pay more. Now everybody wants to get paid the guy at the top with less responsibility. See, God has this. You do more of what he says, there's greater blessing. There's greater blessing on this thing. Now, we have in 1 Corinthians, we're at in 1 Corinthians 14, verse 4 said this, he who speaks in a tongue edifies himself. Well, what did you say? What did you say? See that word edify there? He edifies himself. Now that word edify, if you look it up in the, it's interesting because if you look it up in the Greek, Strong's Concordance says this, and usually that term, it means to be a house builder. You're building something. In other words, praying in tongues, you're building something. You're building something when you pray. It has the idea, you know, you're building, in fact, you look at it, it talks about construct. Also the word confirmed, or it says, to be a builder, building up, it means to edify, also to embolden. I like that thing of embolden. You know, we have too many Christians that I sort of put in the terms of, they're too timid. Well, see, You got to do, you know, look, people say, I've had people over the years say, well, I just can't talk to people. I'm that way. Well, why don't you want to change instead of keep reinforcing your fallibilities and your weaknesses? Why don't you want to change? No, I like this. See, people always ask, I want more from God staying like I am. I want to. He says that. Now, I want to read you something. It may help you read another. In God's Words translation says this. When a person speaks in another language, talking about his tongues, he said, he helps himself grow. See, you're building something. You're going to help yourself grow. Say, I'm speaking words and I don't understand it. Well, see, I don't understand. When I found it made me grow, I understood that. No, dumb people do this. I want to know what was said. I don't care if I grow. I just want to know what I said. That's stupidity. I want result. Don't matter what's in between. You know what? God taught me this. You know, go to work for a paycheck. I had to agree with everything they do and everything they said, but I did what they said. They gave me a paycheck. So I thought this. I don't have to understand that all in between. I just get the paycheck. And I stay happy. I ain't fussing over stuff. I get the paycheck. Well, God said, pray in tongues, I'll give you a paycheck. I'm sorry, but I don't know what the tongues is about. Ah, this paycheck thing, I'm not sure. People are stupid. If they ever stopped and thought for a minute what they're doing, God wants to bless me, and I'm going to refuse the blessing because I don't know what he's doing over here. I'm sorry, I'll take the blessing if you never tell me, I don't care. It's all right. You know, have it. Just enjoy yourself. Why carry all this weight of what you don't need to have? And what carrying that weight causes you to become less spiritual, leaves you out of the blessing of God, which you're not going to. It's going to hinder you from growing in areas. See, I'm sorry, I need all the help growing I can get. Maybe I need more than you, but I need help. And so I'm going to take every bit of... So I know this. This is a supernatural thing. And I know this. It will reproduce miraculous results. Let me tell you about doing this. It's just praying in other tongues. Years ago, I was going to attend some meetings down in Florida. The Lord didn't tell me till Saturday night. He said, after church, he said, you go in on Sunday and you preach. I want you to leave and go down to Florida to this meeting. I want you to get down there. You know, he'll do this stuff like that. See, if you listen to him, I'm not interested in your schedule a whole lot. No, not when he wants to do something because there's going to be a need. There's going to be a need that comes. This need had nothing to do with me. Now, I'm going to go down there. Because in that meeting, there were some things that happened really turned out a blessing for me. God gave me some revelation in some areas and stuff and some things. But driving down, so I hopped in my car, drove down to Florida, and I drove down, you know, down to Clearwater. I drove down there. So I probably spent a good, probably 12, 15 hours praying in other tongues. See, I didn't drive. I get in, just drive straight through. I left, drove down, straight down through there, and I just prayed in tongues. See, I can pray in tongues, stay awake all night. I praying in tongues, and I got down there. So now you get down. So, you know, just drove all night. So, I went and got a hotel. I didn't even have hotel reservations or nothing. I just, you know, God said go. And so I just jumped in the car and went down, and I got down right near the place where they're holding the meetings in a convention center down here, and I just went over and I went over. There's a hotel right nearby there, and I said, well, I'm going to stay nearby. I don't want to be driving all over the place. And so I went and got a room. I went up and I laid down on the bed. And I was on the bed, you know, now I've been up since 5:30 Sunday morning before, and this is Monday, and I'm up, and I do this often and that stuff. Wow, you can do these things by faith. You don't do it all the time. You know, you got to do some things about your health, but I can do this. And it didn't. So I laid down, thought I'm going to rest a little before the meeting. Because when I got down there, I had a few hours before I would have to get ready for the meeting. And so I laid down, and I get a call from my daughter who was in Nebraska at the time. Now, she said, I have a lady that I worked with, and she said she was got to come to work. She was taking her children to daycare, and she got broadsided by a truck, and it killed her, and it killed the one boy, but the little baby lived. But she said the little baby's in really bad shape, and they don't know if the baby's going to live or not. And she said, "Dad, would you pray for them?" I said, "Sure." I said, "I will." I just wanted to listen to the Holy Ghost. See, I've been praying the whole time. I'll tell you what. I'm ready to start a fire. You know, inside, it's hard to close your eyes and sleep when the inner man, he wants to go run and do stuff. Because you know, he's fired up. He's on in, and I'm just laying there. So you know, right away, I hang up with her and I'm going to pray. And the Spirit of the Lord says to me, don't pray about that. He said, you wait till you get at the meeting tonight. That's all he said to me. Don't pray now. You wait till you get the meeting. So you want to listen. These are things that this way. See, praying all that time, I did something spiritual that connected me to the part of me that's the real spirit person. My inner man. So I'm not having to fast and pray trying to get a hold of God. I'm not trying. Our fasting and praying is about us trying to get to hear our spirit. That's where the Holy Ghost lives. We're not trying to hear from heaven. God's already talking. We just can't hear it because we're so noisy. Do you ever get really noisy in your thoughts? Oh man, I hate that when I'm trying to, and my mind keeps wandering off to things, and that just makes me mad. Say, you stupid thing, in the name of Jesus, you stop it. You dumb thing, you. See, our mind's so important to us. Sometimes it'd be your biggest problem. But you know what? I walked down, over the years, I've learned to know this. Sometimes through me operates the gift of faith. Now, the gift of faith has nothing to do with your faith. This gift will come on you, and I'm going to tell you what, it's sort of like you could not believe what God wants to do. It's like you couldn't do it. It's the strangest thing. And it is activated just like your regular faith does. God will have you say something, and that thing will come to pass. I've never had the gift of faith come, and it didn't happen just like I said it. So, you know, When Moses opened the Red Sea, he did it with a gift of faith. It wasn't a working of miracles. He spoke words, and those words came to pass over time. It was a gift of faith in operation. Well, I know I've had that operate through me already. I will just tell you this. I have never had it operate in a church meeting. It's always been outside. Something outside people have, and that gift will operate. I've never had it operate in a church service. I've never had that gift come. Anyhow, so I thought, well, I'm going to obey, but this is on my mind. Because, you know, your mind, my mind's thinking, you sure you heard from God, you dummy? You know, this poor child, you ought to be, my mind's in, you ought to be praying, boy. You know, you need to be spiritual, you know. But I knew I heard from God. And I went into that meeting, and I went in before time, before this thing started. I went in down early. I went in and sit inside, and I just kept sitting, sensing something. I'm sitting by myself up on the side. There's some other people around me, but I sat up over the side, the thing, because, you know, it had, you know, it was like, you know, an arena type thing and that stuff, and up front they had. And I get where I could, you know, see everything goes on, and I sitting up there, and I just kept sensing something in my spirit. And all of a sudden it dawned on me. Now, I never had this, and I don't ever know it ever happened. I've talked to people, you know, that might know some things about this. I've never had it happen before. I know there's a spirit that the gift of faith come on me. But that was in the building. I kept picking this up, and I thought, well, I know what that is. Well, see, that's why the Lord told me, go down to that, don't pray till you go down to that meeting. Well, I didn't do a prayer per se. I just said, that baby's healed in the name of Jesus. That's it. That's all. It's over. And when I said that, I knew I had a release in me. I didn't know need to go say something else or do something else. I didn't need, see, just being obedient to those things. See, when you turn around there, you know, listening to God, this is why praying in tongues. See, praying in tongues set this thing up. Now, it wasn't the only thing. It did other things. But this set thing, this had me in a position. You need to understand this. You need to be in a position God can use you. If you ain't filled up, don't be surprised he don't call on you. Many people don't ever get called on because they ain't got no power to do nothing. You need to know God has power, but he wants you to have a little in your spirit. And this was about, and I thought about the next morning. I get up because they have a morning service. And I'm going to get up and go this morning. They had morning services at another place across town because not as many people would show up for that because, you know, Everybody wants the big meeting, you know. Don't go to those other little ones. But those other little ones were for me. That's where God really ministered to me in those other little meetings. That's where he really spoke to me in some things. And, you know, you get filled with the power of God. I was in one of those little meetings. I'm going to tell you what, I was charged in that place. They had this guy, an evangelist there, and he's laying hands on people. And he walked up and laid his hands on me and almost knocked him to the ground. They had to pick him up off the ground. He said, "My God, you got something in you." I said, "Yeah, it's the Holy Ghost. That's it." See, you got something in you. See, bless him. But you know, I got blessed in that place because there were things that were said and done there that really helped me in some areas understand some things, which I was really thankful for. God, see, why couldn't God told you that there? He has to get you obedient. I'm going to tell you, God's going to give you difficult things to do, and he ain't going to give you what you want till you do those difficult things. You're not going to get them in comfort. I'm just telling you this. I know nothing about that. God's always asked me to do things that were difficult, that sort of messed up my schedules and messed up things and did stuff. Why? To take you to the place. See, to find out, how far would you go? Do you really want this? Do you really? See, people are, I want a lot from God. As long as it's easy and I can sit around and I can. You know, go, when you get to heaven, talk to Apostle Paul about that. Go ask him what he thinks about that there thing. But anyhow, my daughter calls the next morning and says to me, she said, "Dad," she said, "we had a miracle." She said, "that baby's completely fine." She said, "the father went in the hospital the next morning, this morning, and the baby's doing great. He could hold the baby and feed it and everything, and everything's good."
Praise God.
See, why did you? See, it didn't do that. God did that. The Lord taught me this years ago because I asked him the question. And I always tell the story of the lady when I worked at Reese's. She came walking through, and anyhow, she told me, I asked her what was going on. She had been crying. She said her mom had had cancer. Her mom was taken in the hospital, and they said that she wouldn't live. This was a Thursday, and said she wouldn't live through the weekend. And so she knew me, you know, from Reese's being a Christian and that stuff, and she was a Christian, but like, you know, she wasn't as fanatical as I was, you know, that was, you know, but they knew it. So people would come to ask me to pray. Did you ever notice that? The people don't go ask the nominal Christians to pray. Did you ever know that? they know who can get answers and who can't. No, but anyhow, she asked me if I'd pray. I said, sure. And I was in a room by myself, and she had walked through. And when she went by, I went to pray about this lady, because I just said the Lord, because I asked her how old her mom was, and her mom was like 62 or something. I said the Lord, Lord, this is so young for her to die. I said, 62 years old, I mean, this is really, really young. And I said, what about this? And the Spirit of the Lord just said to me, just as clear, I'll never forget, it's just like to me, this happened yesterday. He said, "You command death to leave her and she'll live and not die."
Amen.
And I said, "Death, you get your hands off of her in the name of Jesus." That's all I ever did. That's all I ever did. I didn't go into fasting and praying. I just did what the Lord told me to do. You see, we do a lot more lots of times than we need to do. See, what I had been doing, I'd been doing times praying in tongues. And I'd been doing some supernatural praying. Well, see, I wonder this. Anyhow, till the weekend's over, her mom's at home, and her cancer is in complete remission. They said she came home, and she's doing so great. She went from dying to living. Why? Well, Ed didn't do it. I wouldn't have known. I wouldn't have done it. God did. God had a plan. Well, I found out what God did after that. But anyhow, with that came this. This is what I'm talking about. When we pray in tongues, building ourselves up, what this does. See, there's things and needs that God has. And he wants us to build up. He wants us to be ready. He wants us to have a charge. Number one, if you can't hear from him and you're not charged up, you ain't going to pay no attention to what he's doing anyhow. I'm just telling you. But I said to the Lord, I said, when this girl come back and she, lady said to me about her condition, her mom had changed and how well it was. I said this to the Lord. I said, "Lord, you know, I'd love to do this anytime. You know, there's lots of, you know, and you need to, I found out through this why sometimes things happen and some things don't. Why they do and why they don't. And in this case, the Lord showed me that what many people do, they are hindering God. They want something and even want the right thing, but they're hindering God in their praying. See, they were praying. What I found out later on, I walked up, she's talking to some other ladies, and I walked up to her and these other ladies, and she's telling about their mom. What happened? She said, well, what we had done, she said, we had been praying for our mom. And she said, my mom just got worse and worse and worse and worse. And she said, finally, she said to my brothers and sisters, we got together and we said, you know, we're going to get nowhere in this. Oh, I wish you would sometimes come to the place to realize when you're getting nowhere. Because you keep doing the things that are getting you nowhere and you're going to hinder God greatly. And she said, we realized we weren't doing any good. So she said, we decided to just, she said, all of us, our brothers and sisters got together and said, look, we're just going to turn our mom over to the Lord. We're out of knowing what to do here. We're at the end. And when she said that, I was listening. The Spirit of the Lord rose up in me and said, when they did that, then he said, I could take someone that I knew could do something about it and change that. You see, God couldn't do what he wanted till he got them out of the way. But see, they were in authority. They were in authority. See, it's their mama. It ain't my mama. It's their mama. When they stepped up, the Lord said, I could use you. See, are you in a position you can be used? See, this is one of my people. God doesn't do this through me. Is it because you can't be used? Well, see, that really changed me. When I heard that, I thought, man, you got to keep yourself ready. Amen. You know, you have your gun loaded all the time. You don't walk around, clean it, leave it, lay on the desk at home. You might have to shoot the devil out there today. You know, but don't use your gun to shoot other people. Don't. But see, I found that out. See, God is looking for people. God is limited on having people around who are in a place that he can say, hey, you go do this. See, understand that. See, people are talking about being used as if, you know, God just chooses randomly. No, he don't. There's reason why God chooses and why he don't. There's reasons. So in other words, staying fired up. See, I've had numbers of times where God used me in situations that I realized and understood because I was ready to be used in that situation. He's looking for people. I know this. Sometimes God came to me about it. He had already tried to use others, but they wouldn't.
Amen. Preach.
So the guy asked the Lord about giving, you know. Why do you always ask me about giving to be one of these other people? He said, because if I ask you to give, you'll do it. He said, I got to hound them and hound them and hound them and hound them. There's reasons.
Amen.
Everybody wants the blessing from the giving. Folks, this is why it is helpful for you to pray in the Holy Spirit. It'll help you become more spiritual.
Amen.
And when I'm talking about spiritual, more keen to your inner man than you are your outer man and your mind.
Yes.
You're more keen to hear what's going on. One of the things I found out, see, the more I stay over near spiritual, the more it seems to me is easier to hear from God on things. I pick things up real quick. The reason many times we're so working and hard and want to hear God from something is because we're not connected. And we're struggling at it, you know. You know, you got a good cord on an electrical thing and you plug it in. That thing don't struggle to run unless the motor's going out. That's the only thing. There ain't nothing wrong with the cord. You know, is that motor got good brushes or maybe it's a brush or whatever. Is that a good motor? What, it won't run? What's going on? See, we're connected to power. I'm full of the Holy Ghost. I was baptized in the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
Well, Let's get this thing tried. You know, I might got baptized in the Holy Ghost, but I'm going to tell you, why not a greater charge?
Hallelujah.
Why am I happy with a AAA battery? Why don't I go to a C? No, I have enough power in my little AAA. I want my life blessed. But I found out to minister to other people. Lots of times, see, in my own personal life, it is not hard to maintain me. But to maintain others requires more power.
Amen.
See, the church is sort of ignorant on these things. God gave us a supernatural means to build ourselves up. Kenneth Hagin said this about the major revelations that he got. He got wonderful revelations from God that he taught that had been lost to from the church for years and years, decades and decades. Revelations that were lost. And he got it. He said, most of my revelations came, he said, while I was praying in other tongues. He's there building himself up. He even talked about, well, there's many of these revelations. Jesus appeared to him. Why? He spent a lot of time praying in other tongues. And Jesus appeared to him. Jesus ain't always showing up for a bunch of weaklings. Why waste your time with people who ain't doing nothing? Do you ever hear the saying that? Say, if you want to get something done, ask the person who's busy. They'll get it done for you. You don't ask those people who don't do nothing, because you know what? They're going to do nothing.
That's right.
That's right. See, everybody, that's the Lord asked me about what I said about the money thing. He said, the reason I asked you, because you'll do it.
Amen.
Why don't you ask somebody else? No, he said, I'm asking you because you'll do it. I took it as a compliment and I thanked him. Thank you. I'll tell you what. I always had a gripe on me there for a minute. I said, no. That's good. That's good. Just ask me. So you want to be that way. This is about praying in other tongues. We need to do that. In the Message, Bible says the one who prays using a private prayer language certainly gets a lot out of it. I like that. You get a lot out of it. See, that's why when your inner man is really fired up, the Word becomes alive to you.
Amen.
You go see things in the Word you ain't ever seen before. Why? Because you're more conscious of your inner man than you are the outer. You're more... you're more... You're a spiritual person, but that spiritual person can be very weak. That spiritual, what you are, can be very weak. And just like naturally, a person doesn't eat, doesn't do whatever it is to be strong, you know. You know, you can eat certain foods, you might go along, keep you alive, but there's certain foods that you could eat that would help you be stronger and help you to, you know, do things. You know, they're finding out, you know, they had us on all those carb diets, and they said, well, why does everybody get so fat and heavy and that stuff? Is why? Because you take protein out, people don't develop muscle. Carbs don't develop muscle. They said, you know, don't eat the red meat. It's bad for you. God told Moses when he got off the ark, he told him to eat the meat. It's good. Anybody or any Christian comes to me, I know this. They're a liar and listen to the devil. They tell, oh, yeah. And I've had Christians, you shouldn't eat red meat. And I think, you know, you're speaking against God. It ain't just telling Ed Gibson something. You're speaking against God. God said it's good. You said it's not. Wonder who I'm going with. Gee. But there's many and many, many dumb Christians that'll go along with it. Well, the doctor said, well, surely he's God. He has ended all sickness and disease, and he has done, you know. Thank God for what they can do. But I'm going to tell you, God's on the top of the list.
Amen.
If God said, then God said. That's it. Who is Ed to get? Who am I that I would say against God? You know, if I didn't like red meat, I still wouldn't say that, you know, it's not good for you. I'd never say it. Why? Because God done spoke on the deal. I didn't have to pray for it 2 seconds to find that out. And I know this, if people read through the Bible every year, wasting their time, most of them, they don't pay no attention to what they're reading. Because they'd have sure passed that verse sometime through there if they read through the Bible. And we wouldn't have all these Christian diets that God didn't give. The Lord told me about that. I asked the Lord about diets. The Lord spoke to me. He said, heaven doesn't have any diets. He said, we don't have any diets. He said, all heaven has is moderation in all things. He said, that's all we got. Well, God gave me a diet. No, you, God didn't give you a diet. You got a diet. You decided one, and have at it. But don't try to justify what you're doing is tack the name God on it. Just have at it. If you did it, you know. See, as I learned this. I wanted to lose weight last year, so I did that. I went on a heaven diet. I went on moderation of all things. I didn't cut out any of the things I like to eat. I just didn't eat four times as much of them as I did before. Well, hey, I'm going to be honest. That's what I was doing. I was tearing it up. But see, then what happens is, I didn't find myself having a bunch of bad cravings for things. I didn't quit having any desserts. I just didn't eat half the pie. I did the one piece of pie thing. Now, at first, my flesh was yelling at me. Then I treated it real ugly. I made it exercise. Then you'll hear it. So you ain't eating, and now you're doing this? What is with you, you crazy thing? Well, so I did. I did that. But the whole thing of it is, you need to understand these things spiritually. If we want to build ourselves up on the inner man, I'm going to tell you what. The only way, you know, people talk about, you know, I hear people say, you know, like today, like people, like they talk about, you know, spiritually people are fat. And mostly they're talking about things, people being lazy spiritually and that stuff. But really, a true spiritual person inside is a very strong person. Is very, you know, and from their standpoint, is the stronger you get on the spiritually, the more you're able to maintain your outer man. The more you can. Is understanding. It's helpful. It's helpful doing. I'm not on this thing, you know, as everybody, you know, well, you know, if somebody's a skinny person, they're probably more spiritual than the guy who weighs a whole bunch more. That has nothing to do with nothing from that standpoint. That, you know, from a spirituality standpoint. You know, a person being skinny might be a sign of a medical problem, you know. It is not natural that anybody can eat all as much as they want and they don't gain weight. Something's going on. You better find out what that is. You know, they just burn a lot of energy. You know, something's burning a lot of energy. It's not normal. It's not the good thing. You know, they used to do this when I got born again to come into the kingdom. We had all these crazy Christians, these granola Christians, the nuts and flakes. And they said, we pray over our food. We bind the calories and we bind the things. And that's like, I was going to do something. Yeah, that works. Yeah, I watched them all do that. Say, well, how's the diet going? How's the no calorie diet working? Well, they do. Hey, they can do crazy things, you know. But see, people go now. There's people definitely. They thought they were doing something spiritual. They did. But they didn't really realize that they were doing something that wasn't spiritual at all. It didn't have anything to do spiritually. Lots of times what happens is those people, the things that they needed to do spiritually weren't. You have a great need to do something spiritual concerning the Word of God. Now, we had read before, and I'm going to just read it again from, you don't have to turn there, 1 Corinthians 14:2. It says, for he who speaks in a tongue does not speak to men but to God. Howbeit in this, for if no one understands him, howbeit in the Spirit he speaks mysteries. Now he's speaking, it says, in the Spirit. This is talking speaking in the Spirit. You need to understand, he's talking about this is speaking in the Spirit. There's a difference, speaking in the Spirit, than just speaking your knowledge of what you know. We're speaking in the Spirit. This is about tongues, because we go over to Ephesians. Now listen to what Ephesians 6:18 says. He says, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. Being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. Now, he said, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. He said, watching to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. So in other words, our praying, he said, especially praying for the church. He says, praying here, what? Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. See, what are we doing when we're praying in tongues? We're praying in the Spirit. Our spirit's praying. This, you can't, I'm just going to tell you this. You can't always pray from your knowledge. You don't know enough to pray all the time. And you ain't got enough going. Hey, none of us do. You know what you're going to do? Bible tells us in praying about stuff, told us not to be repetitive. Remember Jesus rebuked the Pharisees? They're just repetitive. They just pray the same stuff over and over. You're not supposed to be repetitive. That's most Christians' prayer lives. It's nothing but repetitive. Same things over and over and over and over and over and over and over. He says what? You praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. In the Spirit. In other words, praying, we're supposed to pray for other saints. You couldn't pray for other saints. You'd be very limited. There's certain things that you could maybe look in the Scripture, find, you know, Paul's prayers, we could pray for Christians. They're very helpful. They could be pray. But that limits it. You don't know personally what some people are going through, what they're having. You couldn't pray for them other than your knowledge. This is why there's so little success in the areas of praying for people, is because we always pray from our knowledge. Number one, this is what the Lord's told me concerning myself individually dealing with a problem. He said this, and I'm talking to him about it, and he said, you're like a doctor that only treats symptoms. I knew exactly what he was saying. See, I didn't even know what was wrong with me. I'm trying to get help for an area that ain't my problem. What I'm looking at the manifestation, and I'm trying to think the manifestation's the problem. It's not. The manifestation's coming because of whatever the problem is. You know? And he used this for me. He said, you could have a headache for a number of different reasons. He said, you could have a tension headache because you worry and stuff. You can get yourself worked up. He said, you have a headache. He said, you could go take, you know, a pill for that. And he said, it might, you know, you might feel better. But he said, you know, he said, you could have a headache because you got a brain tumor. And he said, you might take something for pain, but it don't take a brain tumor away. This is why many people never get fixed. Because, see, we always pray about the manifestations. What's causing the person to do? There can be things. There can be spirits involved directly. There can be all kinds of things. We don't know. This is why I could pray from the knowledge I have from an individual. I do this all the time. You know, when I pray for my knowledge, that's a few minutes, and then we're done with that. Ed don't know too much beyond that. We ain't that smart. Say, well, I just run out of me. Now let's get down to somebody that knows something. And I just say this. Holy Spirit, I want to thank you. You're going to help me pray. You're going to pray out through me to in this situation because, God, you know exactly what this person needs and everything that's going on. And I just say, I'm just yielding to you and I just won't pray in other tongues. And I'll just sit there and pray in other tongues for that individual. And I'll tell you what, probably did him the best good that was ever done for him. Because God knows them on the inside. How can you pray for it? See, we're so limited. We have prayed. People pray for our government, and 90 times, 10 out of 10, they're just praying out of their head. You don't know all the things that are causing the problems in government. You would know. You're praying, you want an outcome, but I'm going to tell you what, you don't get outcomes without dealing with the problem. And God gave us a supernatural way to pray about things. And I just do that. I say, Lord, I've come to the end of Ed now. And I'll tell him, I'll just say that. I've come to the end of Ed. I don't know beyond this. So I know there's more to this and there's more needs to be done. So this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to yield to the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit. You just pray out the will and purpose of God concerning this, of what I don't know. And I yield it, and I pray in tongues. I don't get goosebumps. I don't feel like it. But the Bible tells me when I'm doing this, I'm building myself up, and I'm doing as a command of the Bible to pray for the saints and to pray for others. Because we're praying for people, also for saints. It tells you, praying in the Spirit's a good thing to do for saints. Praying in the Spirit. And let me just say this. This will help you. You don't pray for saints like you do sinners. We don't do intercession for saints like we do, for sinners like we do for saints like we do sinners. You don't need to do intercession for a saint. A saint is already belongs to God. We intercede. You intercede and stand in for a person because they don't have a standing with God. That's intercession. We pray the saints. When I pray for a believer, I take them to God. I don't care if they're acting nutty. I say, God, this is your kid. You see what they do. You know whatever else is going on, but they're yours. That's your brat. You got to deal with them. But this is yours. And I treat it like they're a Christian. This is a Christian. These are the things that the Bible says they're entitled to. That these ones, I want them to be able to walk in what they got. This is what I'm praying for. See, I talk to them. I'm praying for a sinner. A sinner is not entitled to any blessing of God other than if they'll come to Christ and get born again. A sinner does not even have a place other than to accept Jesus Christ to be born again. They don't have a place to stand for any other blessing to ask for. They're not in the covenant. And this is why, that's why we come, we pray for them. Why? God responds to us, not to them. So they don't have a place. See, this is why preaching to God's got to come in the kingdom. But once you're in the kingdom, always treat a person, I don't care what they're acting like, doing, treat them like they're a saint. They're a saint. They're God's child. If anybody needs to whoop them, you don't send them over the neighbor. You let God, if they need a good paddling, if they need chasing, let God do that. Ain't your job. I know we think it is, but now God does tell us some things in Scripture that we need to do to straighten some things out, but the church doesn't do that. The church likes a lot of things in the New Testament, but it's a lot they don't like. They don't like turning people over to the devil for the destruction of the flesh. But there are certain circumstances of things that you do. The church don't like to do that. But we're told to do that. You don't turn them over to God to straighten them out. God don't kill people. Why would he turn the guy in Corinth, tell him to turn him over to Satan for the destruction of the flesh if he's the one that does it? That'd be stupid. Because he don't. The one that's trying to kill you is the devil, not God, trying to teach you something. God's God of life. He ain't the God of death.
Amen.
Never has been. See, people need to get thinking right. But I want you to see this. So when we pray, praying in other tongues, we can reach outside of our own natural abilities, our own natural knowledge. This is a wonderful thing because of all that we don't know. See, I got a revelation when I was a young Christian when Paul said, we look through a glass darkly. He didn't say, you guys look through a glass darkly. He said, we do. See, we're limited on knowledge on this side. We have so much down here. God gives us knowledge. It's like when I heard Brother Hagin, I knew he understood that because when he made this statement, I'd hate to think I'm going to die this dumb. And I thought, my, and he said this, yeah, and what about you? And I thought, oh, he's right. I thought, what about me? Man, I'd hate to die this ignorant. I want to know more. Hallelujah. I don't want to get to heaven, get up there and first thing Jesus meets you and sticks a pacifier in your mouth. He said, no, I don't want you talking up here. You check on this. Didn't you? I'll give you a lollipop later. Take him down the nursery. You'll have to change his diaper in a minute. Glory to God, it's good preaching. we want to go in and hear a good, well done, good and faithful servant.
Amen.
Children ain't servants. They're not. Children ain't servants. That's why our society's messed up. We keep treating them like they're part of the society. No, they ain't. God don't view it like that. Children ain't servants. Children are dominated by their flesh. And today, because of this wrong teaching, we're sitting with most of the adults are nothing but a bunch of big babies. Yeah. Nobody is. And they've been taught to grow up. Take a responsibility. I'm always thankful, I thought my mom and dad were really hard on me, and thank God they were.
Amen.
And they weren't ugly. I mean, they taught me responsibility. They taught me what. And they did it in a family, and we had 9 kids, and they all grew up to be something.
That's right.
Today, people can't get 1 or 2 to grow up to be anything. It's terrible. And we can't do things. Why is it? The reason it goes on is because the parents are a bunch of big, but they're so insecure themselves, they can't deal with nothing. I really want my kids to like me. You know, I wanted my kids to do right.
Amen.
It didn't matter to me if they liked me in doing it.
Amen. Preach.
But when they grow up, they did right. That's the most important thing. They grew up. They couldn't come home and say, Mom and Dad, we didn't know. Yep, you knew. It's really important, folks.
Amen.
When you're walking like these, if we'll take the time to do these things spiritually, we can develop. God gave these things that He can do supernatural things in the earth. He wants you to be able to do supernatural things, that you're ready to yield to what He wants so He can manifest Himself through you. See, this Jesus Christ cannot be glorified unless He can manifest through me. If He can't, that's why we preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. Well, you need to go out and preach the gospel. What gospel are you talking about? There's about 50 of them today. People got all kind of gospels. No, He clarified, it's the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's what Jesus, it's about Jesus. He is the center of the gospel. None of the gospel works without Jesus. There is salvation under any other name. People can sit. Out in Tulsa, there's a big church out there. And they had, it's a big place. Full of people, filled, big, thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands. And they're in there, and everybody, this is a great church, a good church. Well, they had one of these things that they would play music and stuff and some, stuff that was worldly and things. Oh, but we're reaching people for Jesus, they're doing this, and people are crowding in there. Well, finally the head minister, who used to be a spiritual man, finally he retired. Best thing that ever happened to the place, his son took over. And his son knocked off all this carnal music they were playing and doing and went back over. And I was reading a thing online and I was looking, this guy wrote a thing and he was all upset. See, I knew this church hadn't been centered on Jesus. It was centered on its programs and all the neat things it's doing for people. That's what it's centered on. People love to go, Christians love to go to those churches. Lots of programs, doing a lot of things. And Jesus is sitting on the front porch. He's out there. He's out there. You sit out there. Don't cause no trouble. We got this. But this guy put on there and said, yeah, he said, I'm not going there anymore. He said, it used to be fun going there now. He said, when we go in, there's always singing these songs about Jesus now. But understand, what you'd use to get people is what you're going to have to use to keep them. You preach a fluff gospel. Don't turn around and expect that church and then say the person they need to live a clean life. If you brought them in dirty.
Come on.
Amen. Preach.
You ain't changing it. Whatever you bring them in with is what they're going to want to have all the time.
Amen.
Naturally, it's hard to take a child and treat a child and not discipline them and then wait till they're 15 years old. Try to discipline them then. It's identical spiritually. Identical spiritually. You need to understand these things. See, we have very little wisdom today about things about life. We don't even know how natural. We can't even make natural things run. And we want to understand the spiritual. We can't make it run naturally. One of the greatest things that my parents ever did for me, from discipline and treating us to do things, that I could, in fact, when I came to Christ, I could be disciplined to get into the Word, to do things. Because thank God for my parents who taught me to be disciplined. And you know what I did to my children? I didn't care what they're growing, what the ideas and thoughts of the day were. I raised them and taught them, like, hey, you do certain things. This is what you do, and this is what you're going to do, and here you are. And they, well, I'm getting old enough to make my own decisions. Good, you can pack your bag and leave today, and you can make all the decisions you want. Have a good time at it. But when you're in this house, it is Lord and Mama is Queen. Get on it. We'll make the decisions, and we'll tell you when you can have a say in something.
Amen.
We'll let you know when that happens.
Amen.
When you're able to take care of yourself. Wasn't being mean. It's good life.
That's right.
It's good life.
That's
See, when you teach those things, and we know, so it was easy for me that Jesus is Lord. That what he says, that's it.
Amen.
They helped my spiritual life a whole bunch. When I got saved at Reese Candy Company, I worked at Reese Candy Company. There was a move of God going on there. A bunch of people got saved in the plant. Lots of Christians. After about a year, after this thing is going on, I see all these people wandering back out into their, you know, going back over to the carnal lives and stuff and doing this. And you know, I'm on fire. I'm still burning, man. I'm still going to town. This is the best thing I ever had in my life. I lived 30 years and drugging and doing all kinds of stuff. And I think this is it. This is the thing. And I got it. I'm having a wonderful time here with this. And I said to the Lord one day at work, I said, what's going on here, Lord? I said, well, these people, why am I on fire? Why am I and why aren't they? What's the difference? These people went to churches and did things, but they're not on fire. What's going on? And I got a revelation. The Lord said this to me. He said, a lot of it's because of the way they've been raised. They've been raised up in weak-willed families. That nobody ever stayed with nothing or stood with nothing. And he said, they became like that. And he said, it's very hard for them. See, they have a lot of work to change. I thank God I didn't have that. I knew you did. See, I was in the Army when I was 17 years old. I knew what it is to command. I went to Vietnam. You had to listen to people. You had to do things. I learned that. People don't learn it today. Nobody's learning nothing today. It isn't about, we talk about America. We know nothing about submission to authority in America. We don't know nothing about it. We know complain about authority all the time. Listen to news media that does nothing but run everybody down in government constantly. And we hear it all the time and we listen to them. And every you know, somebody does something, somebody always got to respond to it. This guy said this ugly thing, so I have to say this back. That's the devil. It's not conservatism. It's the devil. Man, my flesh many times wants to respond, but I have to say, Ed, shut up. You're going to sin. If you do this, you're going to sin. Lord, let me just sin once. I didn't want to do that. You know, I don't justify myself, you know. But they said, you know, I've got things online to me about my preaching and, you know, my God. I had a guy who was saying, what about me? You believe you can cast out devils. And I thought, and he's a Christian. You believe you can cast out devils. And, you know, I wanted to respond and say, well, you don't believe the Bible? Jesus said we would cast out devils. So, you know, I could have, you know, shut him down, but I thought, I ain't responding to that. I ain't going to pay no attention. I don't care what they say, what they do. And I, you know, I get these things and it don't matter to me. I get them. And you know what I do? I don't keep them to remind myself. I delete them. And then you just, they're gone forever, and I just block it. I don't ever get those again from that individual. I don't need a memory of it to remind me what of a saint I am. And I'm so much better than the only thing between me, difference between me and him is Jesus.
Amen.
I know a lot more about him than he does than me because I'm wonderful. I just don't go around talking dumb all the time. See, you ain't going to get smart talking dumb all the time. You ain't going to do that. You ain't going to get smart talking dumb. Hey, I did it for 30 years. I know. I didn't end up any smarter. I'll guarantee you that. Till I was done, I was dumb. If anybody's going to kill themselves, I was at the top of the list. I'd shoot me first. Hallelujah. Let's stand to our feet. Hallelujah. Did you get help today? I want you to see this. You're spiritual. See yourself as that. You're spiritual. Get that within yourself. I am spiritual. Why? Because Christ lives in me. Say that. I'm spiritual.
I'm spiritual.
Because Christ's in me.
Because Christ's in me.
I'm spiritual.
I'm spiritual.
I'm not trying to get spiritual.
I'm not trying to get spiritual.
I'm spiritual.
I'm spiritual.
Because the Bible says so.
Because the Bible says so.
I'm in the Spirit.
I'm in the Spirit.
The Bible says so.
The Bible says so.
Hallelujah. See, get that thing. Get that within yourself. You see these things. See, there's many voices talking. When the scripture says there's many voices and none without significance. You know how a voice becomes significant? It's listened to. Nobody's significant that they don't listen to. It don't matter. I just want you to know this. I'm my number one voice. I'm my number one voice. And I want you to say that. When you get a revelation in the Spirit, when you get a revelation as you look at the Word, speak it. Get it on your mouth. Amen. Put it on. Oh, that's me. And say that. This is what the Bible says. So that's true now. See, many times we never really plant the seed in ourselves.
Amen.
We read it. Oh, that was good. But we never plant the seed. Seeds are only planted by speaking.
Amen.
Faith comes by hearing and don't get planted by hearing.
Uh-huh.
Faith comes. God hands you the seed bag. What you doing with it?
Amen.
Well, just like in the natural. They get a seeds. What do you have to do with them? Just because you have the seeds, you're going to get whatever it is? No. Got the seeds. Faith came. What am I going to do? Say it. You know, I don't care if you believe I'm acting like a heathen. Say what the Bible says about you. If you want to change, you don't change by knocking yourself in what you really are.
That's right. Amen.
See, and I was only born again about a year or so, and I got over in the areas, because I missed it on some things, and I knew it. I did some things I shouldn't have done. It ain't like some great sin, but to me it was terrible because I just loved the Lord, and I didn't want to do wrong, and I did wrong. And I got over for Him, you know. And see, when ministers preach wrong things and say words, and you let them plant it, watch what you let people plant in you.
That's right.
Amen. Come on. Amen.
And see, they use this Old Testament scripture that, you know, the heart is only to do evil. That's an Old Testament scripture with dead men. That's, my heart ain't to do evil. My heart wants to follow God.
Amen.
Born again people want to follow God. Their heart's not to do evil.
Amen.
They just got to get the flesh under. Well, that's how I'm doing. I'm learning to, I got to renew my mind more and bring my flesh under. That's what I got to do. See, I realize that. But I got over there and I was sort of complaining. I was down laying on the floor in our bedroom and I was really weeping for the, I just did wrong and Lord, me messing up. And so I'm laying there on the floor, and you know, I'm crying. Only this voice says, and I thought it was the devil, you know. This voice says to me, "You're righteous before me." And I'm thinking, well, that couldn't be God. Look what I did. So I just went back on to bawling and squalling. And I went back there, and I started bawling and squalling again. And that voice came back again. "You're righteous before me." That can't be God. See, the devil's. You know what my thought is? See, the devil's trying to trick me. I'm not to be dealing with me myself on this. See, well, the third time this voice said that, then it followed up with me, and he said, "Look at yourself on the inside. You love me with all your heart." You see, what I did was in my flesh, unrenewed mind. But man, my heart started out. He said, "You love," and you know that was the first I really looked at my heart, and I said, "Lord, I do. I love you." And he said, "You quit judging yourself like this." He said, "Judge yourself according to the Word." Well, see, we have too much Old Testament taught in the church today, where the saint is preached to like a sinner. You know, it's a thing. You miss it. What did he say? Whine and cry for 10 weeks. Do this, do that. You know, 10 Hail Marys and a whatever. And, you know, we're going to do this thing, you know, do the rosary 47 times and, you know, and skip to the balloon, my darling, or whatever. Twinkle, twinkle, little star. You get all that in. Yeah, that'll change it. He said, no, confess your sin. Admit you missed it. Admit it. That's all I had to do, and that was done. See, when you carry things out beyond the Word, you open the door to the devil to come. And see, I was opening the door to the devil to hold me in bondage. And God's trying to get me up off the floor to enjoy myself. You know you did wrong, you did good, son. Come on, let's go. No, I want to stay and whine some more. I'm really being humble, I'll tell you. Just do what the Word says.
Amen.
Do what the Word. Walk in the light of the Word. See, you learned to know this. The one thing is I did with this is I spent a lot of time listening to Kenneth E. Hagin on his teaching on being led by the Spirit. And when the Lord told me this, he said, if you don't learn to be led by the Spirit, he said, you'll amount to nothing as a Christian. I'm just going to tell you, most Christians, God loves, they're going to heaven, they're going to be with Jesus forever, but actually spiritually they've amounted to nothing because they don't know how to be led by the Spirit. They're not taught. They follow the outward man and doing, you know, I'm doing nice stuff. But the whole time they don't know what God's doing. They can't cooperate with God. They can't cooperate with what He wants to do. They're doing natural things that are nice, but it might not be what God wants them to do specifically. And see, we got to find out. We got to the internet. The Holy Ghost lives inside of me. He don't live in my head. Sometimes I wonder, it looks like somebody else sometimes moves in there and I go, yeah, get crazy thoughts. Do you ever think about that? Crazy thoughts come to you. You walk along and you're following God and reading the Word and all of a sudden you hear something about something and you get a crazy thought. Oh, we ought to do this or that. It's like, why did that come to my mind? See, your mind can go places. Thank God. Don't be led by your mind because your mind gets flaky. It'll do it. Isn't it amazing? See, somebody come along and put a thought in your mind. You know, it can come along. You have a choice. You could stop and say, no, we ain't taking that thought. Yep. You know, don't think, take thought for tomorrow. See, tomorrow will try to drag its thoughts over to you. Mm-hmm. Well, what's going to happen tomorrow if this goes or that goes and what happens? Well, right now you're not in faith and whatever of faith is sin. Oh. I thought sin was sexual and I thought, no. Sin is anything that isn't faith. It's missing the mark. Say, what about tomorrow? Well, God's going to have to take care of tomorrow. I'm so busy with today, I just believe in just, I'm just believing God getting through this one. Don't throw another one at me. We'll get there. Amen. Hallelujah. If I will walk in faith today, I will be able to walk in faith tomorrow. But if I get over there worrying about that tomorrow, I'll lose today and tomorrow.
Come on.
Hallelujah. God's bigger than all our tomorrows.
Amen.
He's faithful in every tomorrow. Hallelujah. He doesn't slumber or sleep. Why don't you go to bed and rest? Hallelujah. Close your eyes and saw logs. Don't even understand. Hallelujah. It's like the English woman said in England in the Second World War, they're doing bombings. They were all going to shelters, and she didn't go for the shelters many nights. And many nights they're bombing, and they thought she's dead. They thought maybe, you know, she died. Anyhow, one woman sees her on the street one day and said, where have you been? You ain't been to shelters. And she said, I was reading the Bible, and I saw where God don't sleep nor slumber. And I thought, well, why am I staying awake? She said, I've been staying in bed. Hallelujah! And you know what? I'll guarantee you, they thought she was crazy as the day is long. And God was smiling. See, and that's the only one who got sense in a whole bunch.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Praise God. Father, we just want to say thank you today. I'm just so grateful for your patience with us. Because you are so patient with us. Oh, Lord. Hallelujah. I tell you, it's taken us a long time to try to graduate. We've repeated many grades over and over again. Hallelujah. But your love never stopped.
Amen.
You continue. Oh, Lord God, any place in our shortcomings, you have always been right there. Hallelujah. To take us on further and further. Hallelujah. You've always nurtured us. And I am just so thankful. Hallelujah. You're great. Your wonderful son, Jesus, I'm so glad he's my Lord. I am so thankful to have somebody to rule over me that is so much wiser than all. That if we took all the wisdom of all that men have, it's nothing compared to our Lord. Nothing compared to his wisdom and understanding. And especially, there's nothing compares to his great love for us by what he did for us. He's phenomenal. And we get to have him rule over us. Thank you so much. I'm so grateful for that. Thank you, Lord God, to have such a good leader, that one we can listen to, that will never lead us astray, never put us out into a place that he wouldn't help us. He's incredible. And we just want to honor you, Jesus, as Lord. We want to be faithful to the Word. You have so much wonderful things that you want to do to help us and to empower us to do your will. Lord God, we're here today because we do long to do your will. We want to do what's right. We want to follow you. We want you to be able to use us. We want to be vessels of honor. That's our great desire. We don't want to be one of them. We don't want to be a wooden vessel. We want to be a vessel of gold, silver. Hallelujah. We want to be that vessel, Lord God, that you can use. And I want to thank you. You gave us the tools, Lord God, to work in our life that makes us vessels that you can use us for whatever you want to. Lord God, not by our great wisdom and our great knowledge of our mind to do things, but Lord God, even things that we don't understand, like speaking in tongues. Hallelujah. Lord God, that help develop us. Build us up so we can do your will and your plans. We can bless other people by praying for them, Lord God, supernaturally to bring your divine plan and purposes into their lives. Your divine power to help them. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. You've given us ability, Lord God, an area to minister beyond our own wisdom to help people. Folly, Lord God, I believe many times in many areas, even more than what people have said to them. Lord God, these words spoken in the Spirit have allowed you to do so much more. Lord, it's just like, Lord, one day when I was praying in other tongues and I saw in the Spirit, had a vision. And Lord God, you showed me and angels going out. And he said, when you're praying like this, he said, you're like a military commander sending angels out to do things. Oh, Lord, that is phenomenal that we do that. Angels are set forth by heaven, by those divine words that we're speaking, to go out to work, to do, to fulfill whatever plans it is, to bring their influence. Lord, we know there's much influence, a demonic influence in our nation, but there's much more angels than there are demons. And we want to thank you, Lord God, hallelujah, that Lord, we're sending our angels out to bring their influence. The greater influence of heaven, hallelujah, this greater than the influence of demonic powers, hallelujah. Yes. And I thank you, Father, you've given us ability to give heaven's commands from the earth to send the angels out to do your bidding. That's phenomenal, Lord, hallelujah, that you'd use us. Yes. Glory to God. Thank you. Thank you for finding us useful. Thank you, Lord God. Hallelujah. For giving us a place in your field. A place to do your will. And it's supernatural beyond our knowledge. But Lord God, no matter what our mind says, we know this. It works. Amen. It builds us up. It blesses others. And we just want to say thank you, Lord God. Thank you, Lord God, for this wonderful gift. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. With blessing us through the baptism of the Holy Ghost, to be able to speak in other tongues. Amen. And we thank you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah.